Continuing with the theme of light, I'd like to read a poem by Jane Hirschfield titled Meeting the Light Completely. Even the long beloved was once an unrecognized stranger. Just so, the chipped lip of a blue glazed cup, the blown field of a yellow curtain, might also, flooding and falling, ruin your heart. A table painted with roses, an empty clothesline. Each time the found world surprises, that is its nature. And then, what is said by all lovers, what fools we were not to have seen. My reflection this morning in this service is motivated by words that Emily Dickinson once wrote. I am out with lanterns looking for myself. I became aware of these words of Emily Dickinson at a choral concert in San Francisco that I went to with a friend, and at which the words were the title of a song that was sung by an a cappella choir. The context of Emily's words is somewhat mundane on the surface. Her words are from an 1856 letter, not a poem, a letter, that she wrote to a friend, in which she is expressing her thoughts of feeling lost as she is moving to a new house. In this letter, she says, "I cannot tell you how we moved. I had rather not remember. I believe my effects were brought in a bandbox, and the deathless me on foot, not many moments after. I took at the time a memorandum of my several senses, and also of my hat and coat and my best shoes. But it was lost in the melee, and I am out with lanterns looking for myself." Now, of course, since this is Emily Dickinson, we know these words carry weight. Out with lanterns looking for myself, I think, is a wonderfully poetic image and metaphor. As someone who's a word lover and a searcher, this image appealed to me immediately. Maybe it appeals to you as well, because aren't we all searchers? I know I have been searching for most of my life. One of my early thoughts when I was considering Emily's words was that the context of the idea of looking for oneself is somewhat of a privilege for the very few. I was thinking, for example, of a young person from an upper middle class family who finishes college and says, "Well, I'm done with college now, so I'm going to go to Bhutan for a year to look for myself." Now, to be clear, I don't begrudge anyone who has that opportunity and takes advantage of it. In fact, that kind of thing probably would have helped me as I was growing up. On the other hand, if you're someone who is struggling to feed your family by working multiple jobs, or if you're just struggling to survive, would you be thinking about, or would you even be aware of, looking for yourself? Well, I think maybe you would. Clearly, there are different levels of meaning to the idea of looking for ourselves, of oneself. We Unitarian Universalists might equate looking for yourself to one of our guiding principles, our fourth principle, the free and responsible search for truth and meaning. And for many of us, engaging in that search is essential, not just for what we might call self-fulfillment, but really in order that our lives have any meaning at all. On a deeper level, looking for oneself can be related to the mythical idea of the hero's journey, a personal journey not just to find yourself, but to prove yourself and to be transformed in the process. The idea of the hero's journey was popularized in the mid-20th century by sociologist Joseph Campbell, among others. However, it's also true that most of the times that we become aware self-consciously of looking for ourselves, we don't feel heroic at all. We don't know what we will find as we search, nor do we know whether in the end we will succeed in finding anything at all. But still, we keep looking. What Emily Dickinson was referring to specifically is the kind of looking made necessary by a loss that makes your world suddenly unrecognizable. We all know that at any time, life can hand us momentous losses of recognition, the kind of losses for which you can never prepare, the kind of losses that rock your world. And when that happens, looking for yourself can in fact be essential to your well-being. It can be existential. You may have lost connection to the world you knew through the death of a family member, the loss of a child, or the estrangement from a beloved one in your life. You may have lost a physical space that grounded you, that defined you and held your memories. We assume that in Emily Dickinson's case, her loss was relatively modest, that she would eventually right herself and adjust to her new home. But think about all the people who have lost their homes in storms, floods, fires, earthquakes. Questions press hard on you that you can't ignore. How will I ever feel secure again? How will I find myself again? And how will I survive this night? You too might be out with lanterns. So I don't believe that looking for yourself is only a self-indulgent privilege for the few, not in the least. I think it's an essential part of all our lives. For most of us, it doesn't feel like a hero's journey, but it does take different forms and it carries different urgency at different times in our lives. Some of you may not think of yourselves primarily as searchers, as I do myself. You may be focused on the immediate responsibilities of your family and on the present joys of being with your family, as you well should be. So searching and looking for you may not be top of mind, even if it's going on in some corner of your mind. My personal situation in life is different from many of you. Both of my parents have passed, and I don't have the day-to-day responsibilities of caring for children. I also have never had to look for myself, that is, to really find out who I am when I was faced with the kind of debilitating loss that makes it hard to even survive the night. So in that sense, I'm very fortunate. I'm a person who often finds myself in a place which the Irish poet Padraig O'Tuama calls the space between sun and moon, searching to find hope and light where twilight lingers. And I very consciously feel like I am searching, always looking for myself, perhaps as a way to face existential loneliness. And even in twilight, between light and dark, we often need lanterns. Before I became aware of the words of Emily Dickinson, a friend who I have since lost touch with looked at me once with a somewhat puzzled gaze and said, "Seems like you're going through something." Had I known these words of Emily Dickinson at the time, I could have responded, "Well, yes. Did you not see the lanterns?" Of course, I wouldn't have said that. That would have been a snide answer to a serious question, but there's some truth to it. I have been attending this church for many years, and many of you have heard me speak here before. You know that I care about the people at UUCPA, that I love and have benefited from our great music program, and that I like the things we do here, what we stand for. All of that is really special to me. So you might assume that each time that I enter this main hall, I feel completely comfortable. But I'll admit to you now that once in a while, in fact, I feel a little self-conscious. It happens at those times when it occurs to me that others may wonder, why when Richard comes here, does he usually come alone? Well, I'll tell you, it's a long and very uninteresting story. So, but it's not a sad story. And I want to say that even on those occasions when I do feel self-conscious, in fact, when I'm here at UUCPA, I never feel alone. And it's not just because of all you friendly people who are out here in the main hall and online. It's also because I know that in this very room, I am among others like me who are also searching. And there is both great comfort and great joy in the knowledge that I am not and we are not searching alone. In our searching, we just might encounter one another and we'll recognize each other immediately for sure. Because like Emily Dickinson, we will be the ones out with lanterns looking and shining light into the dark.